Motopod, proudly supported by Roadskin, a UK label specializing in protective outerwear for motorcyclists. Modern biker clothing that you can wear all day long and engineered to save your skin. For the road, for life, visit roadskin.co.uk.
Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is going to be episode number 782, coming fairly hot on the heels of our Misano 2 review. So as planned, what we have here is part 2 of the Donington World Superbike rider interview specials. This episode will conclude the Donington round content from July. And once again, I say it a lot, but I think it does bear repetition over and over again. A huge thanks to the teams, the riders, the press officers, and of course to Dorna themselves for allowing us the access into the press area with media accreditation. It's so important to have that, so it's greatly appreciated. Hopefully all of you listeners are really enjoying this content. As we do it more and more, what we're going to want to do is for the Patreon and PayPal subscribers, give you guys the opportunity to fire in questions. We did have a couple of listener questions, which I used in these interviews, so hopefully that was good. And yeah, more of the same coming up. As I've mentioned, we're going to be getting into the Silverstone MotoGP interviews. We've got about 4 shows worth of content to put out over the coming week or two with that. I'm busy editing at the moment. So again, sorry it's taking me a little while to get to all of this, as I constantly bleat and moan about on the show. Along with Jim, we're busy with our work and our families and so on and so forth. So if we were doing this as a full-time job, it would be a lot easier. But anyway, hey-ho, maybe in a parallel universe, that's what we're doing. Anyway, in this show, which is going to run to about half an hour, we have got Bonovo Action BMW rider Garrett Gerloff. Now, those of you who've been listening to the show for a while will recall that I spoke to Garrett at Donington, in fact, last year. So it was good to catch up with him, find out where he's at. Just a bit of post-interview news, because when I recorded this back in July, his whereabouts for 2025 was unknown, because the Bonovo squad is kind of half pulling out of World Superbike. It's actually going to remain just with the team principal not there anymore. Looks like it'll be a one-rider team, possibly on a Ducati. As of now, no news on who that rider will be, possibly Scott Redding, but Garrett Gerloff himself has signed a deal to move over to the Pichetti Kawasaki team. Now, that's going to be an interesting move, because Pichetti kind of becomes the official Kawasaki team next year. That is to say, they will take on the KRT bikes from this year, so they will run those works Kawasaki's, albeit 1 year old, next year. So that's what Garrett will be on. As we know, the KRT team becomes this new Bimota Kawasaki Fusion team. Lots of questions about that, of course, and time will tell. Following Garrett, we have another catch-up with Iker Lecuona. Now, again, I spoke with Iker when he was on MotoGP substitute duties last year in Qatar. So interesting to speak to him about his primary role for HRC, which is as a work superbike rider. Super guy, always really friendly and willing to talk, so that's a longish chat. Hope you enjoy it. Next up will be Axel Bassani. Axel is the teammate of Alex Lowe, who featured in episode 780. Some similarities, of course, in the questions, because I spoke to them one after the other. Again, hopefully for any Italian listeners, that'll be an interesting one. And then finally, a very famous name I was able to speak. In fact, it was the very first interview I did across the whole of the weekend, and that was with Ollie Bayliss, son of very, very famous father Troy, of course. Now, Ollie rides in the D34G team, which, for those that know, that's David Giuliano's team. Again, people will remember David from World Superbike a few years ago, very successful rider in his own right. We don't follow World Supersport massively closely on this show, mention things from time to time as they come up. Perhaps it's an area that we ought to be spending more time on, because that class is becoming super interesting in terms of the rules of the technical package and the range of different bikes and configurations out there. Anyway, Ollie's having a moderately good year, I guess. He's currently, as I record this intro on the 24th of September, we've just had the Cremona round in Italy. So Ollie currently stands 14th in the points. About midway in the table, I guess you'd say. Hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with him again at some point next year and find out how his progression is going. I won't go into the results from the races too much in terms of the World Superbike guys. All of that information can be found on the Superbike website, of course. I think it's probably just best to crack on into the interviews. And so, first up, let's speak with Garrett Gerloff. Delighted to be joined again by Bonovo Action BMW rider Garrett Gerloff. Garrett, welcome back to the show. How's today been for you?
Yeah, appreciate it. man, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed with how it ended, but it's been up and down today. It was nice to finish third this morning and to have like a really solid start to the weekend, which I've been missing the last few rounds. So that was something really positive. And then we just made like a decent amount of changes and maybe just didn't use the right tire in the end of the second session. And so I finished way down the order. So that's like a bit frustrating, but in general, yeah, I'm feeling good on the bike. So.
And this is the second year on the BMW, is it?
Or yes. Second year.
So when we were here last year at Donington Park talking, we were sort of discussing about how to unlock the potential in the BMW, with it being a new package for you. What's the progress 1 year on, do you feel, in terms of both yourself and where the bike's getting to technically?
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to say. I've struggled with electronics this year. There was like some updates that we got at the beginning of the year, and they don't feel bad by any means, but they feel different. It's just been tough. Like I just haven't had the lap time come as easy this year, and I'm not sure how much of that could be affecting it. So I'm not saying it is that, but I've just been struggling to get to the same lap times I was doing last year, let's say. And so, yeah, I just kind of scratching my head a little bit on that. But then you have a guy like Toprak that's just destroying everybody, and you know, everything looks so simple and so straightforward for him. You know, it makes it hard for me to be like, oh no, the bike doesn't feel as good as last year. So
I must just say, when I arrived this morning, I was stood down at the hairpin watching you guys going up towards Goddard's, and I noticed that both your bike and with Scott's as well, on the power out of the Melbourne hairpin, you were kind of looked to be having some trouble keeping the front wheel down, which I didn't see was a problem for the other BMWs out there. Just, I don't know if that's an electronics thing, as you say, if you've got some different settings that you haven't had before, but...
Yeah, there's so many things that can adjust, that can affect how the bike works. Like, it's ridiculous how ingrained the electronics are in racing right now. But yeah, it sounds like a really control thing. I have struggled with it. I've used a lot of rear brake today. Toprak just looks like he's able to carry so much momentum that he's able to exit the corner with maybe a couple K an hour faster, which can help keep the front wheel down also. That's like another variable.
That's a really good segue, actually, because my next question was going to be, obviously we can see what Toprak's doing on the BMW, but I assume he gets his data. So yeah. Is that a help or a hindrance? I mean, because he has such a unique style, doesn't he, and going about riding a bike.
Yeah, it's...
Where are you at in terms of that? Is it a help or a hindrance?
I mean, it's a help, but it's almost like you're looking at a 2D image of what you can't see at all. You just see the lines, and you can try to put an image together in your head of what he's doing, but it's not like you can't see what he's actually doing. What's been hard for me is that I see data say one thing, and then I'll watch video of like the session or what I see Eugene take videos of, and it almost contradicts what I see in a way. Not all the time and not completely, but so it just makes me scratch my head, and it's just like, you know, I want to focus on myself as much as possible. To try, because I just want to be better than I was yesterday, kind of thing. But when you have a guy that's doing so well, it's so hard not to look at him and be like, okay, what's he doing for bike setting? How's he riding the bike? All that kind of stuff. So
now, obviously,
hard.
Last year you had Loris Baz on the other bike, and this year you've got Scott. So, I mean, how is that working out in terms of info sharing within the team and general bike development? Is it kind of more of the same because Scott's another tall guy like Loris was, or are there some other things that Scott's brought that kind of help or hinder?
It's pretty similar. I think it's pretty similar to how it was last year with Loris. We've struggled with similar things this year, and so, you know, it's hard to find.
It's not easy to find a path out.
Basically like that.
Because you obviously were third in FP1 this morning, and then you alluded to the fact that perhaps you didn't perhaps go with the right tire at the end of FP2 and ended up 15th. But overall, a positive-ish day, or you look a bit frustrated?
Just hate to end the day like that, so yeah, frustrated, but I mean positive. I think I just got like I used a used X and a used Zero in the second session, and the Zero felt so much better than the X, so I was like, okay, I'll just use a new Zero and be good. And then it wasn't the way, so anyway, that was just a mistake on my part. But I started struggling with like engine brake and stuff too, so like I said, there's just so many different things, so many different variables that can affect lap time.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it perfectly nailed down, you know, it's can make your life harder.
And obviously, Donington is a kind of what we call a track of two halves, isn't it? Really, you've got that really fast-flowing first half with Craner and whatnot, and then you're that kind of nadgery bit at the end with the Melbourne Loop. I mean, is one part of the track half better with the BMW than the other? I'm guessing it prefers the front bit.
Well, for me personally, the first three sectors, more or less, is my favorite part of this track. Like, it's just so flowy. You're just going so fast. Like, it just feels good. And then the stop and go at the end, I honestly hate. I can't stand it. So it's just not my favorite part of the track. But it's definitely two halves, and that's what makes it interesting out here. And that's what makes Top Rack so good, is that he's smoking it in both of those halves.
Bearing in mind, you know, the day you've had today, and you kind of know perhaps what caused the result not to be quite what you wanted in FP2. I mean, what are your thoughts going into tomorrow, the qualifying and race number one? It looks like it's going to be a reasonable day weather-wise, I think. Maybe not hot and sunny, but hopefully not wet. So
hopefully not.
What are your realistic expectations tomorrow? Are you positive? Because I know you like Donington, right?
Yeah, I definitely like Donington. No, I'm positive. I know that we could get in the top 10. I think that's a realistic goal. I mean, something that is a bit more of a stretch. I'd love to be in the top 5. But everybody's going really well here. That's the thing, is that it's been so tight this year that unless you have something that's way in ahead everybody else, yeah, I mean, it's you're gonna get caught in fights throughout the whole field. So I mean, it's gonna be like a tough dogfight, I think. But yeah, I mean, I feel confident that we can be in the top 5, top 10.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I hope that's what proves to be the case. And I'm just going to touch on next year a little bit, because obviously you've made some comments, as has Scott, been able to talk about it a little bit. Jürgen Roeder, I think, is pulling out the team for personal reasons, whatever those are. So
yeah,
it's not a BMW thing, but given where BMW are at now with this bike, you would imagine that they're in a pretty strong position to get another satellite squad on board, hopefully for next year. So is that something that you're kind of hopeful might happen, and that you'll get to continue this project elsewhere in the pit lane?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I know you can't talk specifics, and you might not know anything at this point in time, but that kind of seems logical kind of course of events for me, and that's what we all hope will happen.
That would be cool, for sure. I mean, I have enjoyed my time on the BMW, and especially with the Bonovo team. Like, that's the only thing that's going to be a big disappointment, is not having the same guys around me next year for the most part, or more than likely. And so that's what I'm going to miss the most. But yeah, if I could continue on the BMW in some form, I'd be super happy. Or if there's another project or program that's really interested to have me, I'm also, you know, interested in doing something like that.
Scott Bolton, who's a past host and occasional still host or contributor for MotorPod, he's met you several times. He's an American guy. You probably remember, he sends his best regards to you. He sent in a question, again, on thoughts on next year. So Scott says, if a good offer doesn't materialise from the World Superbike paddock, is a return to Moto America on the cards? And I would kind of obviously echo that in terms of what you see with the titlers and the top pro teams out there with BMW again, with Cam and Sean Dillon Kelly. So is that something that you would potentially consider if it comes down to it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be sitting around doing nothing.
Because Moto America is strong this year.
For sure.
Really growing again, which is great to see.
Racing's been really good. Yeah. I just talked to a couple of people, and they say that a lot of fans are showing up and everything. And so it seems like the series is in a really strong place, and I definitely consider going back. But I would say that for sure my first priority would be to stay in Europe, you know?
Yeah.
It's opportunities here to race are not easy. They don't come around all that often. And it was hard enough to get here the first time. I don't want to, like, just walk away too early kind of thing. So priorities to stay here.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, I think that's everything I wanted to ask you. And just glad to see you've had a good day today, because I know it's been a kind of a bit of an up and down, tough kind of start to the year. Although we're deep into the summer and we've only had 4 rounds so far. So, I mean, the championship is quite young. I mean, that's another question. I mean, do you get a bit frustrated with the calendar as it stands at the moment and these kind of big gaps between races, because it's hard to build momentum and get flow, I guess, from your point of view?
For sure. And it's just like the gaps don't help with a lot of things, because there's only been 4 races and all the decisions for next year are being made now, and I didn't have the best start of the season, let's say. And so to basically still have 24 races left and to have everything being decided for next year already, it's put somebody like me at a disadvantage, let's say. It is nice for me to be able to go from one race to another and get into a flow. So I think things like that would have helped me. But anyway, I can't change it, and it is what it is. But I would prefer, closer races and to not have the calendar be 10 months long kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, look, we wish you the best of luck for tomorrow, and hopefully you'll put a good case for yourself tomorrow with these decisions being made up and down the pit lane, and we wish you the best of luck.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks for talking to us again.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Cheers. So, delighted to be sat with Ike Laguna again. Ike, really nice to see you again, because as we were just talking, we spoke at Qatar in November last year. So, a pleasure to see you. Tell us, let's jump straight into the main news. I read that there was some
maybe quite positive tests going on in Cremona and Barcelona recently. Can you tell us a little bit about how things went and how things are looking going forward into this round at Donington Park?
Yeah, at the end, the first thing I need to say is that I have a really bad luck with the injuries during the winter test, or because at the end, my December and January, I need to recover from my hand. Like I need to be a surgery for my old injury on the hand because it's coming worse and worse, so I need to solve. Then I start the season with dislocating my shoulder, then injury on the knee, so not a very good or positive start of the season. Yeah, exactly. And also, plus that the bike is almost new, like a new setup, everything new. My crutchif is new, so many things for me was new on the team. So I cannot ride. I don't have time on track. I don't have time on the bike or working with my crew chief. So we need time to learn at the end.
Solve a new puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. You know, at the end, when it's a new crew chief, you need to have a relationship. He need to learn about, in my case, on my style, what I need on the bike, what I like on the bike. So also myself, I need to learn about his working. So it's just we need time. And it's true during the after my injury in Assen in the knee, we have 4-day testing, two in Misano, two in Cremona, then we go to Misano race, then we go 2 more days in Cremona, 1 more day. So after all these days, we learn. I learn about the bike, my crew chief learn about me, I learn about the crew chief. So everything we learn about the bike because for both of us was new. And we prepare a good setup, honestly. It's just a base on the bike. We change something for sure, this new exhaust or new items, but it's not almost new. Sometimes it's old pieces that we try with new base.
Yes.
In a different character and works better, honestly. So for now, we are quite happy. Honestly, I think we did a good step right now, but like always, that is a testing. In Misano, we did a really good job, but from Misano to now, we changed a little bit the base and we find something, or we think we find something. So until this weekend in the race, we are not really sure if it's working or not.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, you know Donington Park, you've raced here before. Based on the recent tests and the progress that you made, is there a section of the track here which you think is going to be interesting to see some of these positive changes?
Sector 1. I remember last year, of course, we struggled in general. That track was funny, but was quite critical for us, for Honda. But I think one of the worst sectors was Sector 1. I don't know if also even 2. Like, all the first corners, downhill, blown, was difficult for us to follow the line, was difficult to take the speed. Yeah, it was interesting because also it's one of the worst tracks for us, no? Last year, here most and Manicourt. So right now we have Donington now, and next week we have most. So two of the critical tracks for us. So it was important for us if confirm that we did the step, or in the negative area, we can say no.
Although you're still learning.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you make of the progress that you can see for the Fireblade in the British Superbikes? Now, I know the technical regulations are very different, but Tommy Bridewell, you probably saw, is doing an incredible job. So what do you make of the differences between the performances?
I'm not really sure. At the end, we did the test with him in Cremona. We have the chance to try both bikes.
So you tried the bike without the electronics?
Feels different, but like you said, the championship is completely different. The rules was different, so the engine or the bike setup, everything was different.
Do you prefer the absence of the electronics with the BSB? Do you prefer to have all the control yourself?
Honestly, I prefer like the BSB to have more on my hand.
You're welcome to come here.
You know, right now, all the bikes, all the MotoGP are here. Even last year, I say MotoGP, like, it started to be boring because you're a passenger on the bike. If the bike arrives to that level, it's difficult to put more. It's not the same here in Superbike, but with electronic, yes. Electronic have everything, so for me, it will be more interesting if the rider have more on his hand to make the step.
Make the difference.
To make the difference. So that's different.
Yeah, and I guess none of the data from the Honda UK program is of use in the Superbike because of the electronics.
Because it was different. The engine character was different because he don't have electronics, so he cannot have this power on the engine because he don't have health, you know. The bike setup, everything was different, so it's different to compare also the data, because you kind of compare if it was different.
Yeah, it's a bit frustrating, I guess, because the extra data would be useful.
What's frustrating when you see that the owner can win and we cannot win it? Why? Maybe for the rules, maybe for the way that we choose here, maybe because, I don't know, many, many things change. So yeah, we don't know exactly why.
Let's talk a little bit about the future. You're on a two-year contract, I believe, so you're riding here again in 2025.
I hope. Yes.
Yes, I hope as well. I mean, it's very clear to everybody in both World Superbike, in British Superbike, and in MotoGP, HRC is pushing very, very hard, changing many things. I mean, we even saw Takeo Yokoyama here in the BSB in May. So tell me about your confidence for the program. I mean, can you see real positive steps now?
I can say that after 3 years, almost 3 years, yes, maybe it's the first time I start to feel that Japan did a proper change inside HVC, to make the step. Maybe after 3 years I can feel it. During these first years, no, I cannot feel it. We talk, we say many things, but he don't do nothing, honestly. Right now I can say, okay, maybe now he wake up and he realized, they realize that we need to improve. We are the last factory here. If he wants to win, we need to change something. And that start from the base, that is a factory. So right now I believe more. Maybe I lose a little bit this feeling about the project, but I can say that during this year, with Takeo that is coming, with Jose Skamet is coming, or more changes inside to HRC, maybe I believe more. I start to believe more.
Yeah. And just lastly, with Donington Park, is it a good track for you? Is it a favourite track for you? I mean, how positive and confident are you about
What's
the
races? Funny, but last year I crashed, I remember, at the end of the race. Maybe I like, but I struggle a lot on the bike. So sometimes I prefer the track that I hate it, but I have a good result, you know? Let's see, this year was a question mark for us, like I said before, so I prefer to say almost nothing.
Looks
about
like
that.
Maybe Saturday you have damp track, and then on Sunday it's a bit drier, maybe not sunny or hot.
Let's see, even if it's a miscondition or some storm or whatever, no? Sometimes it's a good shoot for us. Maybe it's a chance to make a good result. I like a lot this miscondition.
Yeah.
Maybe now we understand a bit more the way to go fast in a wet area. So like I say, we think we learn a lot, but we need to prove now.
Let's see
what happens.
Well, we wish you great luck and enjoyment this weekend. I hope, I hope you enjoy riding the bike here, and the weather is not too bad.
I hope, I expect it, but thank you.
You're in the UK, so good luck, and thank you for talking to us again.
Thank you, that's a pleasure.
Cheers.
Thank you, man.
Cheers. Axel Pisani, welcome to Motopod. Thank you for your time. Can I start by asking you what you think about Donington Park? Is it a good track for you, one that you particularly enjoy? Are you in love with Craner curves like many riders are?
No, I like a lot Donington because it's a really old circuit with a lot of history, so it's always special for me to come here. Really difficult track because you have a fast part, but also the last part is really slow, difficult with the small corner. So it's always special to ride here. I hope to do a good weekend, but we'll see.
Yeah, we brought the special British weather for you, so I apologize on behalf of...
No, for me it's okay. I like when the condition continue to change. It's part of the game, so it's more easy to put a little bit of confusion on the mix. So,
as most of our listeners will know, you've been in the paddock for quite some years, a couple of years in World Supersport, and then 2021 to 23 on the motor course at Ducati. Tell us a little bit about the decision to move across to Kawasaki and how the transition between the two bikes is coming for you.
Sure, it's never easy to change bike and change team, especially come from Ducati before to Kawasaki. The bike is completely different, but for sure, for me to take the decision was not difficult because I always wanted to come to go on the factory team. So when Kawasaki asked me to start to work together, I was happy to come with them. So it's difficult, but the same time is nice, it's funny because everything is completely different. There is a completely different way to work. So I'm learning a lot of things and I'm trying to do my best, and every time we are coming better and better.
Yeah, because in Misano you had a 6th place and a 7th place, so clearly though is progress. What is it that's changing? Are you just adapting to the bike, or are you changing some things in your own style?
You have completely to change your training at home, because the bike is more difficult to ride. You have to push more on the bike. Every lap you have to push. With Ducati were more easy to manage the race. So you have to change your way to work at home. Also that you have to change your style to work also with the team. And the bike is completely different. So you have to change your mind. It's not easy after some years where you continue to ride in the same style. Change, but it's part of the game. Is our job, and we are here for that.
Yeah. Now, Alex is obviously one on the bike this year. So, and you are making progress, clearly. We can see that in the results. So, looking forward to the next round, can you see a podium is a potential?
I don't think about podium now, because especially this year, the level is really high. It's not easy. Sure, we are here for try to fight for a good position, but at the moment, our position is not podium. We have to be realistic and try to fight every time for our position. I think for us now, staying in the first 8 position, 7, is good. After, if the podium arrive, sure, it's nice. But at the moment, if we start to think only about podium, it's not the right way. We have a job to do, and we need to do slowly, try to understand the bike and arrive to fight for the top position with a good idea that what we are doing. No, yeah, I did a podium, and the race after, P10 is... Yeah. I don't like to do like that.
Like I just asked to Alex, I'm going to finish by asking you about 2025, and as an Italian to become part of the Bimota Association, that must be a real enthusiasm for you to be part of that project. I mean, what do you feel about it?
I'm happy to next year to be with always with the same team, but with different manufacturer, with Bimota, Italian manufacturer. So I'm happy to work with someone from Italy, so more easy for me to speak with them. But it's a new chapter. We'll see. It's not easy, because it's completely, everything is completely new. We have a lot of work to do. But the important is that Kawasaki want to try to come back to win. So start to work with Bimota to try to do a good job, to try to come back to fight for the championship. Because now, the last years, Japanese manufacturers have some difficult. So it's nice that Kawasaki, Japanese manufacturer, changed his mind to try to win. So this is important.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I probably used up all my time. Eva's looking, smiling at me. So I hope you have a really successful weekend. Safe 3 races. It's 3 races, right?
Yeah.
Not this silly other one that they talk about. So I hope it goes well for you. And good luck.
Thank you
for talking with us.
Thank you.
Cheers. Rich here at Donington Park World Superbikes. Delighted to say you've got Ollie Bayliss. Ollie, welcome to the show. First time on. First of all, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Really good. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. So, Ollie, a bit short on time. So, sum up your 24 season so far. You're currently 12th in the standings. I double-checked last night. Heading into Donington, 33 points scored. So how do you kind of sum up the year to date?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a strange year. We had a bit of bad luck early on and one good round at home, and then we went to Assam, struggled a little bit. Went to Barcelona and struggled a little bit at the start, but we finished in a pretty good position. And then we went to Misano where we had a pretty consistent weekend of progression. So we're getting there, and if we keep the ball rolling, then I think we can have a good year.
Yeah, as you say, you had your best result, I think, in race one at Phillip Island, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what are the realistic expectations coming into Donington Park then with a couple of races you got?
We kind of want to, you know, keep the ball rolling and keep the top 8. You know, if we can get into the top 6, then that's where I want to be racing for the rest of the year.
Now, the Supersport class is kind of become, in many ways, the most interesting class, I think, in the paddock in the last couple of years. Very rich and varied in terms of the machinery. So what do you see as the relative strengths and weaknesses, perhaps, of the Panigale V2? As compared to, say, the Yamaha, MV Triumph. I mean, there's a lot of different bikes, a lot of different engine configurations out there. It's an interesting series, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah. I think the positive for the Ducati is if you can... It's kind of a strange bike to ride. You can't really ride it how... Well, at least I think you can't really ride it how, say, you can ride an R6. You kind of have to be a lot smoother and ride it a little bit more like a superbike, I guess.
Okay.
And... I think this is...
Is that because it's more of a thoroughbred racing machine, really?
I don't know. It's a road bike, but... it's like once the bike starts getting a bit too out of shape, you kind of never end up going faster. So
right.
The smoother you are, realistically, is the faster the faster and you'll be.
Where do you see the bike in terms of Donington Park? I mean, obviously you've raced here a good few times now, I guess. Yeah. We had new asphalt last year, so you've got some decent data to work off. So where do you see the bike's strengths here?
I think in the change of directions, the bike's really good, especially on the gas as well. So, you know, in a track like Donington, there's a lot of corners where you're on the gas and changing direction. So, yeah, I think that's this is a plus side to this bike.
Yeah, and Donington, is it a good track for you, a favourite?
Yeah, I love it. I've done, in the 2 years, I've done a few track days and two World Superbike race meetings. And last year we were on for a good weekend and then we had a bit of a crash. But, no, I think, you know, it's up there with one of my favourites.
So you race for the D34G team. Yep. That's David Giuliano,
yep.
Of course, who's team boss, I guess. So I've got to ask you, you're surrounded by World Superbike stars. You've got Giuliano, you've got your dad, obviously. I mean, who gets to give you the most advice these days?
Both of them. Both of them. They've got their, I don't know how to put this, not different points of view, but...
Different styles.
Different ways to give me information, and both can be positive towards me, so... Yeah, no, it's good hearing it from two different sides, really.
And how involved is your dad? I mean, does he follow you around still a fair bit, or is he kind of letting you get on with your career now?
No, it doesn't really come to the circuits anymore, just because, you know, he's got a lot going on in Australia. So him and my mum will try and come down to a few races one or two throughout the year. So it's good to have them come over for a bit.
And I've also got to ask you, who wins in a straight fight on a bike these days? I mean, did you get out on track with him from time to time?
No, only on the dirt bikes. When I'm in Australia, we still go to the kart track a little bit, but not as much as we kind of used to. But on the dirt bikes, because we now live on a bit of property, we race more or less every day. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've got him covered now. He's getting a bit old, but I'd like to go back and race his prime, I'm sure.
Last question, because I know we're a little bit pressed for time on this occasion. Obviously, you're a little bit different because you've grown up in the bike racing community.
Yeah.
What's your earliest memory in a paddock somewhere? My co-host Jim was wondering if, say, for example, I can't remember when you were born, but Troy winning, you know, in 06 MotoGP.
No, I don't remember any of that. I remember some point in 2006. I just remember because I was three. So maybe either 2006 or 2007, I was at Monza with one of my cousins, and I think I had a mohawk, and he painted my hair red. It's something along those lines. It's just like a little visual memory I have, but it's the first one I can remember.
And do you see it as an advantage? I mean, obviously it's not a disadvantage, but is it an advantage having grown up in this atmosphere? You know, you obviously come with your eyes wide open. You know exactly how these places operate. Is that a good thing, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. It's good because a lot of the guys that were around when my dad was racing are still working or hanging around the track, so... you know, if I ever need help from some people, it's there.
You got a contact network.
Yeah. So, there's many lifelong friends that I've met when I was young and are still to the track, so it's nice. Mm.
Cool. Okay, well, perfect. As I say, I'm a little bit pressed for time on this one, but it's great to meet you, Ollie.
Yeah, you as well.
Obviously, we hope you have a really good weekend. Hopefully, the weather's not going to be too touchy.
We're in the UK, we don't know.
Do you have a preference? I mean,
yeah, I prefer you like the
dry, or you want it dry?
Yeah, I prefer
Is that
the dry,
better
for
the bike as well,
no,
would you say?
I mean, there's a lot of guys that go really good on the wet and on this bike, though.
You'll take it as it comes.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope it stays dry.
Yeah, so do I. All right, mate. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You very much.
Nice to meet you. Cheers. Cheers.